Well, we sang, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," and that's what we're going to talk about today. If you love me, Jesus said, and this is one of those if-then statements we've been looking at for a couple of weeks, and we saw when we started this study that the Bible gives us several of these statements. They are conditional statements, and when the if applies, the conclusion, the then statement, must also apply. That's why we've got mathematical equations up on the board. If the left side of the equation works, the right side of the equation is going to work every time. We know these are true statements. So the one we're going to look at today is this one. If you love me, and if you love him, and you could sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," from your heart, then Jesus says there is going to be a result in your life. There is going to be something that you can look at, that others can look at, and see the result of you loving Jesus. So turn, if you will, to John chapter 14 and stand as we read God's Word this morning. John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 15 through 21. And this is Jesus speaking. He says in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." You can be seated. So we're going to look primarily at verse 15. And this is one of those verses that is commonly misapplied, not maybe in a bad way this time, but it's misinterpreted, and frankly, in some of your Bibles, it is mistranslated. Okay? So verse 15 says, in the New King James, "If you love me, keep my commandments." How many of you think that sounds like a command? Nobody think that sounds like a command. A couple of you think that sounds like a command. Okay, what it actually is Jesus telling the result of you loving him. It is essentially a prediction. The correct translation of this verse is, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We'll talk about the word in a minute, but this is Jesus' prediction for what will happen in your life if you love him, if you truly love him. Now, it's a great thing to keep his commandments, and there are other verses that where he clearly says, "If you love me, then you shall keep my commandments." But this is talking about something a little different. This is evidence in your life that you love Jesus Christ. So since we're on a school theme, I wanted to illustrate this point this way. Here's what the verse says in the command way. If you take this course, study. If you take my class, study. That sounds like a command, and it's probably good advice. But it's translated correctly this way. If you take my class, you will study. It is the result of you taking my class. Why? Maybe it's hard. Maybe you have to study. Maybe it's just such an exhilarating topic that you can't help but study. You want to. But the point is, what God is saying here is, if you love me, and we're going to talk about today what it means to truly love Jesus. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So let's look at the first point. The first point in this study today is that obedience is not optional for believers. You know, a lot of us think, well, you know, I can believe in Jesus and do my own thing. I can believe in Jesus and go my own way and do it my way. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you truly believe in Him, or you have submitted to Him, surrendered your life to Him, and you love Him, which is what it takes to surrender and submit, then you will keep His commandments. It is an if-then spiritual truth that Jesus gives. The word I told you we would talk about, it's a Greek word, terestete, and it means will keep. It's all it means, is will keep. I know some of your Bibles, if you have the ESV translation, it translates it that way. Other Bible translations translate it that way. But it's a slight difference that I want you to see. What he's saying is, if you profess to love me, then one of the ways that you can know this, one of the ways that the world can know this, one of the assurances and promises of salvation that you have is that you're going to look at your life and you're going to see that you're keeping His commandments. A lot of people think, oh, but I can't do that completely. And He knows that. But is the bent of your life, is your lifestyle designed to keep His commandments? We can't stand up here and go, oh, well, I'm keeping every one because I love Him. Because you just broke one, right? You know that's not true. But what you can say is my desire is to keep His commandments. My goal is to keep His commandments. I want my life to reflect that I am keeping His commandments. I want my witness to reflect that I am keeping His commandments. And what Jesus says is that because you have faith in me, because you have love for me, this will happen in your life. You see the difference? It's a slight difference. It's not just a command. And you know, disobedience is one way we disobey God. That one's pretty clear. When He says, thou shalt or thou shalt not, and we do the opposite. How many of you ever told your kids this? Obedience delayed is disobedience. You ever heard that? Yeah, we used to use that one a lot. What about this? This one's even harder, but it's true biblically. Grudging obedience is disobedience. Obedience with an attitude is disobedience. We are supposed to give our lives to God as a reasonable sacrifice, living sacrifice. We are supposed to let Him come into our lives and live through us and use us however He wants to. Because that's what the result of faith is. And God repeatedly, Old Testament, New Testament says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we forsake all to trust Him, then we do understand that we are committing to follow His commandments. And our lives should be characterized by that kind of lifestyle after we make the commitment that we love Him. Are we going to be perfect? No. Should we be better in following God's word after we say, God, I love you, than we were before? Yes. If we really meant it, if our hearts were changed, if we experienced that repentance, that metanoia, the change of mind, the change of direction, if we experience that, then yes, our lives should turn a 180 also. Those things that we used to do that were disobedient to God, we should not be doing anymore. And when we do them, they should be much more impactful on us. You know, I don't know about you guys, but there were sins that I did before I became a follower of Christ that I didn't think anything about. But then when you become a Christian, you're like, oh, I shouldn't be listening to that. And then when you hear it, you're like, how did this get on my playlist? Anybody got any of that experience? You have a song that was your favorite growing up, and it comes on there, you can get it for 99 cents on one of those websites, and you buy it and you download it and you think, I never want my family to hear this song. Nobody? Okay. Well, this is just, thank you, thank you. Or how about this one? Your favorite movie growing up that you rented, you know, for years on VHS, and it was kind of the censored version or maybe the TV version. You plug it in to watch it with your family, and it's like in the first 10 minutes, you're like, we can't watch this. You turn it off. You only saw the TV version of it, not the real version of it. God says something's going to be different. And it is a command, but it's like, this is evidence in your life that you love me. And Jesus said this over and over again. He was talking to the Pharisees one day and he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I command?" See, they were calling him Lord, Lord with their mouths, but they weren't showing obedience. They weren't showing true love for him. They were using the right words, but it wasn't coming from the heart. It wasn't real in their lives, and it wasn't making a difference in their lives. So the conclusion is, you don't love me, which is what he was telling the Pharisees. John, the apostle, who walked with Jesus for 3 years, wrote this in 1 John chapter 2. It says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Here's this next verse. Verse 5 is important. "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him." So when your life has changed, when your life converts and it becomes a life that is designed to seek God's will, to obey God's will, to obey what he commands, and that's different than you were before, that is evidence to you, it's evidence to the world that you have been changed and that you have truly loved him and that the love of God is in you. Jesus said it one more time in John 14, 21. He says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." You get the sequence there? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. It's because you keep my commandments, it's because you love me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So that is one thing that we can take Jesus's mathematical equation. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We need to ask ourselves sometimes, why are we not? You know, we would never say, "I don't love Jesus." What we say is, "Well, this one thing he doesn't fully understand." The Creator God gets it all, okay? We know that. Sometimes our faith weakens. He understands that. That's what confession is for. That's what going to him and saying, "Forgive me, for I have sinned. I haven't put my faith in you. I haven't given you the glory you deserve." That's what we're supposed to do. But this will happen when we love him. So we need to ask the natural question, what does it mean to love Jesus? We need to understand what that actually means. So number one, it means something more than purely being emotional. It is something more than just our feelings. Now you can be completely emotionally in love with Jesus and feel his love all the time. Most of us don't feel like that. See, the problem with basing your definition of love on emotions and feelings is, well, I feel pretty good today. It's Sunday. I got an extra hour of sleep. What about tomorrow morning when I don't feel so hot? What about when I'm fighting that illness or when I look at my bank account and somebody's drained my bank account? What if I'm not feeling really loved by God right now? What if I feel like I'm being punished? What if I feel like any number of things? And see, what God says is, "I loved you before I founded the world." That is a spiritual truth. It is not how we feel about that truth. You understand that? I want you to be excited about loving Jesus. That's great. But that cannot be your gauge for whether you do love him or not. That cannot be the test that you use to say, "Do I love him?" Because you're going to feel like on some days, "I don't love him." If you're totally honest with yourself, you get mad, something bad happens to you. "Why'd he let this happen to me? Why today? You kick me when I'm down." Whatever phrase you want to use, things happen like that in our lives. And on those days, we don't always feel loving towards God. We get a bad diagnosis. One of our kids has something happen to them. All kinds of things happen in our lives when we don't always feel loving towards God. That's when we have to take our faith over our feelings. That's when we have to believe the truth of the Word of God despite our emotions. So it's not just emotions. It can't be merely an emotional thing. The second thing, though, it can't simply be an intellectual thing. You can say, oh, well, I love Jesus. Fact. Think that'll work? That doesn't work either. Okay? Jesus said, you know, we talked about before about the verse, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? James says this, therefore, to him who knows to do good, so intellectually you know to do good, and you don't do it, to him it is sin. So James is saying, look, you can know something up here, but until you put it into practice in your life, it's either good or bad. It's not enough. And we see the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't love him intellectually even, but they were great rule followers. They could keep all those rules to a T. It was simply intellectual with them. And most of the time it wasn't honestly intellectual, but it was intellectual. And that's not enough to love Jesus either. So it can't be purely emotional. It can't be purely intellectual. It has to be this. It has to be a matter of your heart and your spirit. Your whole heart, your whole spirit, your whole body has to be dedicated to loving Jesus. Okay? Jesus said in Mark 12:30, next slide, guys. He said in Mark 12:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So it's not just my emotions, it's not just my heart, it's not just my intellect, it's not just my brain, it's my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. There's nothing left. If you love the Lord your God with all of those things, there is nothing left in your body. There's nothing left in your will, there's nothing left in your spirit. It's all given to Him. And this is what Jesus says. He says, you've got to love me like this. Remember, Jesus is answering this question because some young man had come to him and said, what must I do to be saved? Okay? Jesus says, well, have you thought about the commandments? And that young man says, oh, I've kept all those. I've kept all those from my youth. Probably didn't, but maybe he did. Jesus then turns this and he says, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The other time we hear this question being posed, the Pharisees were trying to trick him up again. Which one of the commandments is the greatest? What's the greatest rule that you can give us, teacher? They called him teacher. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. With everything you've got, you love Him. You give it all to Him. You leave it all on the table. You don't hold anything back. So you don't just give Him this intellectual love. You don't just give Him an emotional love. You give Him every bit of your energy, every bit of the person you are, 110% to Jesus Christ. And he says, when you love me like that, when you truly love me, the result will be that you keep my commandments. So what does it mean? Let's look at some of the characteristics that we would have if we're giving everything to Jesus. If we are giving it all to him, we're going to see this, that we're going to freely accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Okay, now understand what that means. Freely accept, we kind of get that point. Jesus as our Savior, we get that point. We like that. But understand what the word Lord means. The Lord means simply master. It means master. Well, master over what? Me. Master over everything about me. Master over my heart. master over my soul, master over my brain, master over my might, master over my time, master over my money, master over my family, master over everything. I have to freely accept Him as Lord and Savior in order to love Him. I can't begrudgingly, well, okay, God, you know, I like the Savior part, but that Lord thing, no, you know, I can't do that. That's not right. That's not love. That's not giving our all to Him. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to cherish and attach ourselves to Him. That's kind of an emotional component. We can cherish Him. We can love Him in that emotional sense. Cherish the time we get to spend with Him. Cherish the time we get to spend with Him in prayer, in worship, and all those things. Cherish the fact that He came to earth to die for us. And then we've got to attach ourselves to Him. That's what being a disciple means. You know, today we would look at a piece of Velcro and we would say, that's how much we have to be attached to Jesus. Where if you start splitting it, y'all ever pull apart Velcro, it makes a really, really loud sound, doesn't it? That's how we should be if we're pulled away from Jesus' will. That's what it should sound like. We're not close. We're not just close where I can pull away at any time. There's an unattachment that should occur. When I truly love Him, when I am following Him, when I have denied myself, taken up my cross every single day and decided to follow Him, I'm going to be that attached. I'm going to be, if you guys remember back in the 80s or 90s, they had those Velcro tennis shoes. Anybody have those? Anybody still got those? Don't raise your hand. Okay. When you know, in school, you'd reach down. That was a cool thing to do because it disrupted the teacher. Sorry, Bob. But it would disrupt the teacher. Throw them off, you know? But that's how close we should be attached. We need to cherish and make sure we are attached to Him. So in loving, we've got to freely accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've got to cherish and attach ourselves to Him. And then third, we need to sacrificially give all that we have to Him. And I don't just mean money. I mean time. I mean energy. Willpower. Whatever it is He's calling on you to give, your answer needs to be yes, Lord. Not yes, Lord, but. Or yes, Lord, what if. Yes, Lord. Remember, He called Abraham to give His only son, His only blessed son, Isaac, in sacrifice. And Isaac was promised to be the golden child, you know, through whom the world would be blessed. More people than the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. God said one day, I want you to give him back to me. And we don't read about Abraham doing any kind of fighting. We don't read about Abraham pushing back, telling Isaac to go run away so he's not there the next morning. We read that Abraham got up and immediately started his trip to Mount Moriah. We understand what it means to sacrificially give. But that's what God wants us to do. When we love Him, we are willing to give those things that we're not comfortable giving. I know, listen, some of you are doing things this week at VBS you have never, ever done before. God will honor that. God will empower you for that, and will it be totally comfortable? No. But He will use it, and He will glorify the words that come out of your mouth. You may never see it, but you know what? Those ears that you're talking to will hear it, and He will use it in somebody's life. So we give sacrificially. What about our pride? What about our ego? What about our image of ourselves? Doesn't matter. And then finally, the last thing is we need to commit all that we have and all that we are to serve Him. You know, Paul wrote, after he had summed up everything to the Romans, he said, look, you know, the only conclusion that I can reach is that it is our reasonable service to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. If you think about all those old movies, you know, they usually threw the people that were going to be sacrificed into the volcano. They didn't do a lot after that. But what we're going to do now is God wants us to be alive, living for Him, and still sacrificing our entire life. Well, what if He wants me to go somewhere that I don't know anybody? If He's leading you to go, go. What if He wants me to give up this career and choose another one? If that's what God's leading you to do, go. Because He's going to be there ahead of you. He's going to be opening the doors. He's going to be with you. And He's going to be behind you too. He's taking up the rear. He wants you to commit everything that you have to loving Him. So understand what love truly is. Love is accepting Him. It is cherishing Him. It is attaching to Him. It is sacrificially giving to Him. It's committing everything you have to Him. It's everything you own, and that is not easy. Jesus told us in our scripture today, He said, look, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. Jesus knew that we could not do all of this on our own. Those are impossible requirements for a human being without God in their lives to meet. The only way we can do that is because we have the Spirit of God, as we read down here in verse 21. We have this Spirit living in us. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus said in verse 19, because I live, you will live also, and that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Understand that. It's all like this. We can't do it like this. Oh, Jesus, you're over here. You ever remember that bumper sticker, Jesus is my co-pilot? That was not good theology. Jesus needs to be my pilot, my co-pilot, my bombardier, my navigator, whatever it is I need, He needs to be it. I'm there too, but He's the boss. Very tough definition of love, but you understand then why when Jesus says this equation, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, how He can say that. Because He knows that if you have given Him this kind of love, the Spirit of God, His Spirit is inside of you, and His Spirit is empowering you to do those things that are humanly impossible. Love those who persecute you. Pray for them who persecute you. Turn the other cheek. All kinds of things we can do that are not humanly possible, we have the ability to do because of Jesus Christ. But it starts with love. And we love Him because He first loved us. We weren't the ones that started this relationship. God reached out, made this plan before the world was created. He knew there would be corruption. He knew the catastrophe was coming. He knew the confusion was coming. He planned for Christ to come. He planned for Jesus to die on that cross because He loved us. He planned, get this, for Jesus to die on that cross when we were still enemies. When we were sinners, Jesus said, I am willing to die for you because I want you to love me. I want you to love me like this. So the challenge to you today is simple. You've heard what love means. Do you love Him? Look at your heart. If you love Him, you should see obedience in your lives. Is it going to be perfect? No. But if you truly love Him, you will see a bent towards following His word in your life. The older we get, the more mature we get. Maybe not physically older, but the more mature we get, the more we should be following Him. If you don't know Him yet, understand this. If you've not made Him your Lord and Savior, you do not have the assurances that the Bible gives us. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible teaches that you are condemned, and there is one way out. There is one way out of that condemnation, and that is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not a way. For those of you that came to revival the other night, we talked about this. It's not just a way. He said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by or through me. He doesn't just say, I point the way to the Father. That's not what He's saying. He says, I am the way to the Father. You come through me. So if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have not told Him yet that you love Him, that you appreciate, you cherish what He did for you, you need to make that step. Because without the love of Jesus in your life, without the love of the Father in your life, you are condemned. You're on your way to hell. And we don't want that. That's why you're here. That's why God has brought you here, to hear that word today, to be challenged by that question, do you love him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for the clarity of your word. We thank you that you rip off all the veneers. You get us down to the nitty-gritty, I guess, with a question, do you love me? Father, I pray that each and every person here can examine their lives and say, yes, I love you. Father, I love you and I thank you. I cherish you. I want to give my all to you. But yes, Father, I love you. I pray that we all be able to look at our lives and see the evidence of that love in obedience, in caring for one another, in sacrificially giving our time and our efforts, money, whatever it may be. Father, I just thank you that we have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and be with you forever. If there's anybody here who has never made that profession, Father, I pray that they would make it today. Pray that you work in the hearts of each and every person here to keep this message central, to keep the message your Son gave us. If you love me, there will be a result in your life, and that will be that you keep my commandments. And by this, the world will know that you love me. Father, we want the world to know. We want the world to see it through VBS this week. We want the world to see it at work this week. We want the world to see it next Saturday. We want the world to see it each and every day of our lives, that we love you and they see how much. Father, we do love you. We thank you for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.